Welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, where I talk to entrepreneurs and business people from all walks of life and all levels of success, from millionaires to the people who are just starting out, and everyone in between. My objective is not only to learn about their businesses and goals, but about their challenges and fears as well, all with the hopes of helping them and you find a pathway to success. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. And I am excited to be joined today by Niyi Shobu, who is a former NFL running back for the New Orleans Saints, played ball at Oregon State and Portland State back in the day. He's also a former firefighter and the founder of IamNotYou.com, as well as a fellow podcast host with podcasts on performance coaching and improving performance for both athletes and business as well. And I think we're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot in common today. And so I just want to say, Niyi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on, Andy.
Yeah, man. So we were introduced by our mutual friend, Nick DiNardo, who is a fellow father and member of the Dad's Edge community. And I know he's a buddy of yours who is kind of a fellow guy who's passionate about diversity and how people go about overcoming diversity to be more successful.
Exactly, man. Nick is the man. We were talking about him earlier, man. He's one of those guys that you're just, it's good to know a person like Nick. You know what I mean? Like, I remember just meeting him and it's almost like instantly became friends, and he does everything in his power to like help you grow, help you succeed. So that's my guy.
Yeah, man, I feel the same way. As I may have mentioned this before with other guests, but as I've been trying to get this podcast started, Nick has two podcasts he's been running for a while, and he's been really helpful for me. He's giving me tips, advice, making introductions to cool people like you, which I appreciate. And so even though he's from Boston, we won't hold it against him, right? He's still a cool guy. So, Niyi, if you wouldn't mind, you know, I gave a very brief introduction there, but tell me a little bit more about your background, where you came from, and how you got to where you are today.
Exactly, man. Hey, so it's funny. I've done some pretty unique things in my life, but at the end of the day, I'm from Portland, Oregon, third out of four boys. My dad is from Nigeria, and I've always been someone, like I was the third out of four boys, so I guess I had like the middle child syndrome. I've always been someone who kind of went against the grain, right? And I believe that that helped me in a lot of ways, and it also hurt me at times as well. But in terms of the different things that I've done, became a firefighter, obviously played in the NFL, and now doing what I'm doing, I'm kind of like all over the board in terms of some of the things that I've gone after. But again, it all stemmed from this mindset that I cultivated when I was younger, which like I would get really, really frustrated when people told me what I can't do or like what's not possible or and things like that. And so I remember I grew up playing soccer. I no longer wanted to play soccer. I hated running. I was actually kind of chubby when I was in middle school, and I decided I wanted to play football. And so I fell in love with football at seventh grade. But then in high school, my dad put me in a private school that didn't have football. And so I was upset about that, obviously, but I still wanted to play. So I begged him in order to play at the local high school. I had to take the bus an hour just to get to practice. But I had a ton of people telling me that that wasn't possible. I shouldn't do that. I wasn't going to be able to work it out with the teachers. But I made it happen.
Man, this must have been West Coast, by the way, because I know where I am in the Southeast. You wouldn't be allowed to have a high school without American football.
Exactly. It is, man. It was a small high school, man. Well known for its academics, but and soccer programs as well. But I was like, man, I'm trying to play football. So ended up playing at Oregon State after that, walking on there, and had a great time there. Man, it was a cool opportunity, but they didn't give me a scholarship, and I really wanted one. And they were kind of dragging me along, and so I decided to transfer. Again, many people telling me I shouldn't do it. Just kind of appreciate the fact that you're playing D1 and all that type of things. But I knew what I wanted. I knew where I was going. And so I transferred. Portland State, ultimately balled out my senior year, had a great year there, and then busted my wrist up at the end of that year. And again, people were telling me, like, you don't really have much of a chance to get to the NFL. You're not going to be able to perform as you want in the pro day. But again, I ignored advice, went all into that process, ran my best 40 time ever at the pro day, and got picked up by the New Orleans Saints, where I was a rookie free agent. And again, many people telling me not to get my hopes up because I'm a rookie free agent, and you're kind of like a camp body. You're easily disposable after they, you know, do all the cuts in the preseason. But I was starting week four against the San Francisco 49ers, which was, you know, a dream of mine to start in the NFL. And so ultimately my career got cut short due to injury. Like, I injured both shoulders 2 years there, and that got cut short. And after that, I spent about 2 to 3 years kind of wandering, drifting, not really knowing what it is that I wanted to do. I had a clear idea of what I didn't want to do, which many people do, but it's not until you get clear about what you actually do want where things start like clearing up for you. And so I made the decision I wanted to be a firefighter. At that time, I was also doing personal training with athletes on the side. So I decided I wanted to be a firefighter, and I became a firefighter in about 6 months, you know, which is a pretty tough thing considering how difficult it is to become a firefighter and how many qualifications you need. I had no experience at all.
Yeah,
and
man,
it was a great accomplishment for me, but it wasn't something that I saw myself doing for the rest of my career. While the time I was a firefighter, I was doing the personal training, and I noticed athletes, they don't really need me to train them in that way. It's like training in that way is almost a commodity. You can find out what to do. It's really like, how do you apply what you know? Like, how do you actually get yourself to perform your best when it matters most? How do you take what you do in training and actually apply it to dominating in your sport? And so I made the shift to mindset training. And that's when I started I'm Not You. And last year I decided to quit my job as a firefighter and dive into what I'm doing full time. And since then, I've been extremely blessed. It's grown at a fast pace. I'm a father of five, married, love my life, man, live here in the Northwest, and I am living life how I want to live it, you know, and I believe that there's nothing really better than that, you know, especially all the challenges come, right? But it's like, it's always like I tell my kids, you want to be a lion in the jungle, not a lion in the zoo. Lions in the zoo, they get things fed to them, they get shelter when it's cold, you know, they get everything handed to them, but they're not happy because they're not actually able to be themselves. They're not out there hunting, they get fed steaks, you know. But a lion in the jungle, it's do or die out there, and sometimes it's droughts, and sometimes you got, you know, there's no more zebras to eat. But guess what? The lions in the jungle are happy because that's what they're made to do. They're made to be a lion, and those are the ones that roar. The lions in the zoo, I've never seen a lion in the zoo roar. They pretty much sleep all day. So I am very much a lion in the jungle, and I love it, and I'm happy to be here.
Oh, man, that is fantastic. And I know that was just an abridged version of your story. I'm sure you've had a lot more than you've gone through based on what I've heard and read. And it's interesting, you know, I bet there are quite a few people out there who might say, you know, I wouldn't mind having some steaks handed to me, you know, here and there, and just be able to chill out on the beach. But, you know, you and I know, especially from working with ambitious people, athletes, people that want to perform at the highest level and be successful, they're not happy when things are just handed to them, right? They want to be able to say that they earned it, that they worked hard, that, you know, they challenged themselves to get to where they are. And there's a lot of people out there that talk about, you know, you should focus more on the journey than just the success, you know, and enjoy, not just really enjoy it, but, you know, realize that if you didn't have that journey and those challenges, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be worth it. I used to be really big into mountaineering. I do a lot of mountain climbing, and you know, it was always felt so good to get to the top, but it was because of how hard I worked over the 1 or 2 or 3 days to get there up to that point. So completely understand. But you know, speaking of challenges, you made a big shift going from firefighter, which comes with a secure salary and a pension and all that stuff. I think it still does these days. I don't know.
Right.
But to going out and running your own business, and you got, you know, you're not just a young guy with no responsibilities. You got a wife and five kids. How did you pull that off? How did you set yourself up to be able to do that?
Man, so that's a great question. It's actually, if I had to pick one thing that I've done in my life that I'm most proud of, I'm proud of making it to the NFL. I'm proud of becoming a firefighter, but I'm most proud of quitting my job as a firefighter and doing what it is that I know that I want to do. And the reason why I'm most proud of it is because it was truly one of those situations where, like, I was legitimately scared. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, where I actually did what I knew I needed to do in spite of the fact that most parts of me were telling me, oh no, don't do it. And most everybody around me was doing that. But I would say the short answer is this. When I became a firefighter, I had the idea that having a job or having a career was like what I needed to do. Like, I was like, okay, that's what, you know, financial security, healthcare, you know, like you said, pension, got the little retirement, throwing in, you know, the job, got a lot of time off. Cause that was what I was kind of being told. Like, that's what society kind of tells you. But then as I'm actually in the mix and I'm going to work and I'm seeing the guys that I'm working with and I'm looking at the reality, is I'm like, hold on, like, this is not really, first of all, this is not really what people make it out to be. Second of all, this is not really something that I want to do. Like, yeah, it's nice having a paycheck come every 2 weeks and, you know, you get your little raises every now and then. But number one, I need way more money than this. First off,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not enough. Like, no, so I was like, this is not the life that I want. This is not how I want to do it. It's not that I didn't like going to work. I enjoyed it. But I only enjoyed it because I made myself enjoy it. This is what I would choose to do. And so during the time I was a firefighter is when I was learning at a very aggressive rate. Like, I was reading a ton of books. I was listening to podcasts. I was setting goals and like noticing what went wrong, what didn't go wrong. This is when I was really experimenting with like the real power that I had. I found a mentor who introduced me to a lot of things that I had no idea about, you know? And so started reading a ton of books. And during that time, like, I sort of used the time as a firefighter, almost like it was an internship or not necessarily an internship, but more like I was preparing myself for what was next, but I didn't really know what was next. In about, you know, the second year is when I really decided, yo, I'm not going to be working here for that long. I remember sitting around at the dinner table and it's funny, guys in the fire department, maybe there's some other places like this, they talk about retirement, like they talk about how many years they have, like it's a prison sentence. Like, yeah, I got 10 years left. You know, I got, hey, Shobo, you got 25 years, man. You just got hired. I'm my head, I'm thinking, I'll retire whenever the hell I want to retire. Like, this is not, no, I'm not in prison. I chose this job. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I was like, man, I'm not about to be working here for too much longer. And I had set a date for myself. And as I move faster and faster, my company's growing. I'm getting a taste of what it could actually be like. I actually got to the point where it was like, okay, I know what I want to do. I know what I don't want to do. And these two things are very much conflicting. Like, I don't want to go to work because I know what it is I have to do. Like, I don't. And so it's like I'm having to choose about, you know, where I put my time. And it was like where the two things sort of like collided and something had to give. Either my dreams had to give a little bit and I had to say, well, I got to wait like 5 more years. Or I say, all right, dude, it's time. Like, you got to let go. And so I remember I had this interview. I interviewed this guy named Thomas Tadlock. And he was talking about intuition in the interview. And it was so weird. It was like, I had, while that interview was going on, I just had like this weird feeling. I was like, dude, I really need to quit my job. Like, I just, this is what I was thinking as I'm interviewing this guy, right? Yeah. And afterward, I was literally like, okay, I need to quit, like today. Like, and so I remember I was getting ready to email my chief, but I was like, hold on, let me check with my wife real quick. So I went.
Good idea. Good idea. Right.
And I'm like, hey, babe, like, you know, I originally had said October. I think at this point it was like April or something. I was like, but I really feel like I need to do this right now. And she's looking like, are you serious? And she gave me the green light, sent the email to my chief. He was like, are you serious? And I had the other chief call me up. Like, they were like, dude, what are you doing? You know, like, this is not a good idea. But I made up my mind. And that next shift, I had a shift like the next day. And that was my last shift. And the rest is history, man. Like, the thing about it is I didn't know what I didn't know yet, you know. But
yeah.
I'm a firm believer. Like, I live by these four rules. You set aggressive outcomes without limits. And next is you boldly face reality. Like, you have to see it for what it is. Like, so I couldn't ignore the fact that I was no longer going to get checks. I was no longer going to have my own health care. I was no longer going to have my little pensions, and that it was all the way up to me. And then I have to put myself through the fire. That means I have to actually go through the process of making this shit happen. And then lastly, I have to systematically raise my standards. So that means I have to look at what's going on and say, all right, what you're doing right now is not enough. You need to completely switch this whole shit up. You need to step your game up here. You need to start being more deliberate with your time. You need to start, you know, locking your door. Tell the kids, no, you're not banging on my door. Daddy's working. You need to start, like, being deliberate about how you spend time with your family, because you're not going to spend as much time, even though they think, and we could talk about this more, man. It's just some realities about this game that people don't understand. And staying really attuned to reality has helped me out a lot. But that's sort of like the short version, if you will.
Man, that's a great story. I'm wondering, kind of the follow-up, and there's a lot of things to get into from there, but as you're making that transition, it sounds like while you were working at the fire department, you were building up a side business. You were
absolutely
actually starting to work with clients. Because a lot of people, myself included, have been in this situation, thinking, that's great, I'd love to quit my job and pursue this other thing, but what about money? So had you saved up a lot of money? Was it just about building up the side business that was big enough? Because I know you played in the NFL, but I also know you're not Peyton Manning. And you probably didn't earn that much money while you were there. So did you have much in the bank? Was it just about you built up the side business enough that you were confident that you could make it bigger and support the family?
Yes.
How did you do that?
It was the last thing you said. It was, I had built up my business to the degree that I had confidence that I can continue to grow at a fast pace. So I did not have a ton of money in savings. Like you said, I was not Peyton Manning. I did not make millions of dollars in the NFL. And quite frankly, most of that money was gone after about like 2 years out of the league, you know, because I spent about a year and a half after being in the NFL trying to get back in the NFL, not working, you know what I mean? So just training, investing my money, like in all these different, like the things that an NFL athlete needs in order to succeed, as well as pay rent, as well as have two kids, as well as, you know, all those things.
Meanwhile, your friends probably think you're rich because you played a few games
in
the NFL, right?
Exactly. I had friends texting me to borrow money like a week after I'm like in rookie camp, you know what I mean? But it's hilarious. But yeah, so during that time, and this is really important for anyone listening to know, because a lot of people are in situations that they don't like. They're working at jobs they don't like. But here's the reality. He who was, and there's a Bible verse. I actually just was talking to my kids about this the other day. It actually had to do with the whole dog situation, as I told you. He who was faithful with a little was faithful with a lot. If you don't do with what you have where you are, you're not going to be faithful with the things that you say that you want. And so that a lot of times we don't get blessed. We don't get the opportunities that we say we want because we're not maximizing where we're at right now. So when I talk about maximizing, I'm talking about, I set up desks in the fire department in the actual bay, which is where I would carve out a little cubbyhole with my laptop and be working all night on my business, reading all night, mapping out my visions and my plans all night. People thought I was crazy. I was so disciplined every time at work. I knew what I was going to eat. I knew I was going to, work out. I did not, you know, watch television, which is a habit that a lot of firefighters have, watching television all day. I knew exactly what I wanted. I spent time crystallizing my vision so well that, like, when I left the fire department or left shift and went back home, I was right into my work. You know, like I remember there's this one station, it was this new station that was built and they had this really nice conference room. And I remember being like, hell yeah, like I can't wait to work at that station. I'm gonna set up. And sure enough, I set up in that conference room. I'm making calls. I'm setting up podcast interviews. I'm mapping out my future, my goals, writing out the plan for the next day. And so that's the reality of what it actually looked like. And I guess you can say it was like a grind and a struggle, but I didn't even really look at it like that because I had so much energy. I actually look back at how much sleep I didn't get during that period of time and look at the period of time right now where I'm like, dude, I better be happy I'm getting as much sleep. I would be running calls all night, you know, coming home off of like 3 hours of sleep, diving right in, recording 8 episodes, you know what I mean? Doing that again the next day, getting new coaching clients, and then going right back to work the very next day, you know, online. I remember I got on the Rich Roll podcast, which is a top 50 podcast on iTunes. I literally found him while I was at work. I emailed him while at work. And that podcast alone has made me a lot of money. It's been, you know, built a lot of connections and is responsible for a lot of growth in my business. And I'm forever grateful to Rich Roll for that. But my point is, wherever you're at right now, you better dig in and use whatever resources you have right now, however much time it is. Don't say you don't have no time. That's BS. Don't say you don't have no money. That's BS. Don't say you can't read, but you better go to the library and get some books. Pay $4 on Amazon. I go on Amazon to use books. It are 1 cent plus $3.99 shipping. How much? What are you eating every day? Cut your spending budget in any way you got to. Do whatever. And that is, I believe, one of my that's something I take pride in. I'm very resourceful. And as soon as I start thinking I'm resourceful, I realize how not resourceful I actually am. Because there's always a way. There really is always a way. If you get creative enough, if you get strategic enough, if you think outside the box, if you divorce yourself from whatever ideas you have about how things have to go, and having that mindset will get you very far. And so I believe that, you know, the universe, nature responds to growth, right? And so if you just look at evolution, a species doesn't stay around if it doesn't adapt and evolve. And so for you or whoever listening, that means that wherever you're at, you need to outgrow your current position. You can't be expecting to get to the next level if you're not maximizing and outgrowing where you are right now. So that means doing all that it is. And when you do that, I promise you, opportunities show up. You will feel the right fit. You will know, like, this is time for me to quit. Like, I felt this is the time. I knew I didn't know everything to do, but it was funny. I had such a solid foundation set up where I was like, even if I don't know what to do, I know I'm going to figure it out. And I know I'm going to figure it out because I figured out shit before. I know I'm going to figure it out because I dedicate time to learning, reading, growth, evaluating myself. I know I'm going to figure it out because I know what I want in every area of my life. I know what I want. I know what I want in my family life. I know what I want with my wife. I know how much money I want to make. I know who I want to serve, who I don't want to serve. I know how I want to do it, what I don't want to do in order to do that. And that gives you a ton of confidence when there's a lot of uncertainty.
Man, there's so much good stuff in there. And I am just taking notes furiously, getting jacked up. I actually think I need to hang this up so I could go do some work. But there's so many good gems in there. I mean, first of all, working hard, that's the obvious one, right? Like, you got to hustle if you want to go try to make it. You're working a job. You're trying to grow a business. But the second one that a lot of people hear about, they don't really put into practice, is time management. And you were managing your time. You were finding ways to be productive in every area of your day. So many people say, oh, you know, I would love to do this. I would love, like you said, I'd love to start a side business, but, you know, I don't really have the time. Well, are you watching TV? Like you said,
right.
You're watching sports for 6 hours on Saturday. Do you really need to do that?
Right.
You know, how long are you spending on social media, on Facebook all day, every day, you know?
Right.
There's just everything we do with our time is a choice. Everything we do with our time is a priority. And when you spend time on one thing, you're prioritizing over something else, whether it's spending time with your family or you're working on your job or you're working on your side hustle, you know, you're booking the podcast. That's awesome stuff. And I love that you were getting into the podcast and the reading. You mentioned that you picked up a mentor that really helped you as well. How did you find that mentor?
It's funny. He actually found me, man. And his name is Ray Shelmar. I'm like so grateful for him because I was actually training his son. I trained his son and they found me through like a referral. And this is when I was doing physical training before I was even a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And he just like found an interest in me. He just had me come to his office. He's a counselor. And he's an entrepreneur as well. And he just was asking me questions and he just started giving me books to read. He started saying, yo, meet me at my office next week at this time. And there was something really comforting about his presence, like where there's very few people that you meet where they like have this presence about them that makes you feel confident. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like their confidence rubs off on you. And he's just one of those guys living life at a really high level. And so he just invested in me. And that's, again, there's a lot of things that happen. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't meet him, quite frankly. In the same way that I don't know what would happen if my brother, my big brother Tunde, didn't invest in me the way he did when I was young. But I'm really grateful. I do want to say something about, you were talking about hard work, right? And time management. These things are not ends in themselves. Now, what I mean by that is like, I don't believe like the end game is to like manage time well.
Right.
To manage time well is what's necessary to achieve your end game. So the most important thing that you can do, and this is why, for example, even working hard, I don't even really, I am a hard worker. I don't use that language really, because that's what everyone is if they're doing what they really are supposed to be doing. Like,
right.
You're just doing what you're supposed to be doing. No one had to put a gun to my head and make me like create a podcast. And like, I create so much content and people are like, how do you do it? It's not hard for me. Like, this is, I live this. Like, I can record all day, literally, if I wanted to. The point is, find out what it is that you want. So I would say the single most important thing anyone can do, wherever they're at right now, if they don't already have this, is create a crystal clear vision, crystal clear in every category of your life. I'm not talking about, yeah, I want to be in great, like crystal clear. When I say I have my whole life mapped out in vivid detail, every category of my life, and this is what I help my athletes do, this is what I help my clients do, to a level of detail that is not normal. But guess what? That's why I'm so confident. That's why I get more shit done in a week than people get done in months. And that's no exaggeration. I move at a fast pace because I have such a clear idea where I'm going that like virtually everything else is just like falls out of the way. It's like when you put your map in Siri, she tells you the most efficient way to get there. It's like you don't have to waste hella time like trying to figure out, you know what to do. Like, so even when you take a wrong turn, because you know the outcome, what does Siri do? Just gently redirect you. She's like, all right, well, let me just reroute you. And so you don't waste all that time. And so wherever anyone's at right now, don't try to overcome, you know, your slavish habits through willpower. It's not going to happen. I love watching movies. I love ice cream. I love candy. I love Sour Patch Kids. I don't eat that shit because it doesn't help me get where I want to go. And I don't have to use too much willpower. No, I still struggle, right? But I don't have no problem not watching no TV. That's not a problem. I don't have to like discipline myself to not watch television. And the reason why is because my outcomes are so clear and they're actually what I really want. So most people are creating outcomes that other people have designed for them or society has designed. Create outcomes that are for you. If you like working at your job, then work at your job. If it's not, then creating a vision in every category of your life that you actually really want, and you'll be surprised at how hard you'll start to work. You'll be surprised at how you'll be forced to manage your time better. Forced. I built all the systems that I created out of necessity. Like, I didn't just wake up saying, I'm going to build these like really in-depth systems for time management, for organizing your life, for managing and mastering your emotions, for building habits. This is all shit I've created out of necessity because my vision has required that of me. So I just wanted to drive that home because people will call themselves, you're not lazy. No. Human beings inherently were designed to be lazy. So if that's the case, everyone's lazy. We're not meant to like sit down and like be mapping out our goals in vivid detail. Like our only instinct really is to survive. We are blessed though with a conscious, rational mind. And that's what makes us different from an animal. So if you're smart, use that conscious, rational mind to decide what it is that you want. And then you'll be surprised at how resourceful you can get. You'll be surprised how much people say reading. I read so much. I don't like to read. I don't like to sit down and read. I just like learning shit that helps me get where I want to go. And that's why I'm always reading. I'm always learning. I was meeting with one of my friends. He was saying, I just feel like reading's a chore. And I'm like, do you know what you want? You know what I mean? Like, who? Like a chore? It's a chore for you to figure out how to make more money. It's a chore.
And no one's making you read, right? I mean,
right? No, ain't nobody making me read. Like, yeah, there's no. It does nothing for reading. Doesn't make me money. Reading helps me learn things that helps me make money. So reading is not an end in itself. Do you get what I'm saying? So define the end games. Define whatever is your end games are. And then do whatever's necessary in order to get it and make sure those end games are something you actually want. And when you do, you'll be infused with a next level type of energy. Now, I'm not going to suggest that every day you're going to wake up motivated, inspired and all that. You will be a lot more motivated than 99% of people out there, though. That's for sure. And so you can bet on that.
Man, I think if I listened to you every morning, I'd wake up motivated and ready to go, man. I see why you're successful in what you're doing. I appreciate you kind of clearing that up because, you know, everybody has the same amount of time in the day. No one's making them do a lot of the things they're doing. You got to think about where you're going. And the one thing I didn't quite hear you say there, I wanted to ask you about is this idea of do you try to connect it back to your why also? Because it's one thing to kind of set that big vision and say, I'm going to build this business to be X. I'm going to be, you know, financially free. I'm not going to go to work, etc. But do you also think about why am I doing that to keep yourself motivated through other? Because I think a lot of people, they set goals. They say, okay, I'm going to go lose 30 pounds or I'm going to go build up this business. But then they're easily distracted by things because, you know, they forget about it or they face some challenges and, you know, it gets a little bit tough. And they think, yeah, I don't really want to do this. I think I'd rather eat chocolate cake or watch TV.
Exactly.
How do they get over those humps? Is it about connecting it back to the why or connecting?
Absolutely, man. And I'm glad you said that because we can, you know, this is what I do. So we could talk for hours about this. But the first thing you have to do is get clear on what you want, right? After that, you figure out why you want it. So you say, well, why is it that I want these things? And like you said, most people give up on their goals because they're creating outcomes that they don't really want. If you really want it, then you'll have a very strong reason why. Those two things are very, you know, tied together. So part of the challenge is divorcing yourself from what people have told you or what you think is like what you should do. There is no real should. It's whatever it is that you really want. And you know what you want. And then if you know what you really want and you say it, you'll have no problem creating a very detailed list of all the reasons why you want it. How will it impact all the other areas of your life? And if you ask the question why enough times, my coach always told me, ask at least 7 times. When you got a goal, you set the goal, you got to ask yourself why at least 7 times. Because when you do that, you'll eventually, like, if something will click. It's like, oh, yeah, like, that's why. Like, a lot of times when I meet athletes and you ask them, like, okay, what your goals are and then why, and then they're like, oh, because I'll be able to go to college. And it's like, there's no enthusiasm at all. Like, well, why do you want that? Why do you want that? Well, why do you want that?
Someone told
me. Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, okay, well, shit, is that no wonder you having a hard time working out every day? No wonder you don't like going to practice. You need to reassociate to your purpose. I say you need to like emotionally associate to your purpose every single day. And I would spend a lot of time boiling it down to one sentence, quite frankly, to where it's like, you know exactly like the theme of your life, like what it is that you're trying to do. Like for me, my purpose in life is to overcome my fear, all my fear, to overcome it, to connect with God at a high level, and to build fearless leaders, to build other people who are fearless, who now lead. And so right now that happens to be in my work, right, as I coach athletes, to show them how to be fearless, show them how to train and prepare in a fearless way, show them how to make leaders of their teammates, show these executives, man, these business executives that I work with who are scared, they're scared. They're always worried about what other people are thinking about them or what they're going to look like. To be fearless, to do what it is you know you need to do regardless of the fear. That to me is fearless. And then it's the same thing, that theme carries over to my family. To build fearless leaders of my kids, to build a fearless leader of my wife, to overcome my own fears, because I deal with my own fears every day. I'm a human being. We all have what we call an amygdala, that almond-shaped piece in our brain that is the fear center. Like, it stores all memories. So all the fear memories are there. You will feel fear. It's very real. The question is, do you have a purpose strong enough to push you past it? And there is no right or wrong. Like, it's not like a, you know, I always use this example, Muhammad Ali versus Floyd Mayweather. Two of the greatest boxers of all time. Arguably, I mean, these guys would be on the Mount Rushmore of boxing. Huge impact on the sport and on the world. And as much as you might not like Floyd Mayweather, this dude has changed the game for boxing. So Muhammad Ali, he hated training, by the way. He said, I hated every minute of it. His purpose was tied to bringing awareness so that people can, so people can understand what was going on in these inner cities. That's what his purpose was about. That's why he was into politics. That's why he refused going to the war. That's why he got his boxing license stripped from him. That's why they threw him in jail. That's why he went through all that shit. And that's why he came back even after it. That's what his purpose was. Floyd Mayweather don't care nothing about what's going on in the inner city. He's worried about making money. Now, is that right or wrong? That's none of my business. His purpose drives him, happened to drive him to be the most successful boxer we've ever seen. He's never lost a match. So the question is, what's right or wrong? It doesn't matter. Find your purpose. If money really drives Floyd Mayweather, and for the reasons of securing, you know, his family's legacy, for the reason of him feeling significant, whatever, it makes no difference to me. You find your reason why you do what you do. And once you find it, if it's real, it will drive you to do things like Muhammad Ali. It will drive you to do things like Floyd Mayweather. Or if you don't, it will drive you to stay at a job you don't like, be overweight, and be complaining about everyone and everything except for yourself. Complaining about whatever the people don't do, going on Facebook, complaining about Donald Trump or whoever else you got a problem with. Nobody care about that shit. Nothing has changed for me since Donald Trump has been in office. My life has not changed at all. You know what I'm saying? So I know what I got to do every single day. He ain't stopping me none. You know, we'll see when once I got to pay taxes. I don't know, maybe a little more, a little less. Who cares? I'll figure out a way. Do what you got to do. So I get fired up about this, man, because I feel like so many people are driven by fear. And it's because they don't have that purpose to push them through it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. There are just so many ways I could go after that, because you touched on so many great things. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's really about connecting things back to your purpose, your vision, your why. I love that you brought examples into it with Muhammad Ali. And by the way, Muhammad Ali, not only did he have a purpose and a grand vision that he was working towards, he's also famous for visualizing each fight before he went into it and seeing every possible scenario that could happen. What would happen if his opponent went left? What would happen if his opponent went right? What would happen if he got hit? And also visualizing the outcome of him defeating his opponents. And that's, you know, one of the things he credits to him being so successful. And every detail, thinking through everything. I try to do that today. You know, just going into important meetings that are, you know, probably not nearly as important as what he faced. But, you know, that's why I get up early every morning, why I read every morning, why I try to learn and improve and try to find ways. You know, like you said, I never heard it put that way, but, you know, nobody's making me do it. Right. It says, like, you have to get up at 5:30. Now, exactly. There is something to be said for people that, and we'll get into coaching, which is what you and I do and your business. But, you know, there are people that, even with that why, they have a hard time doing it. There's something to be said for having an accountability partner, right?
Right.
And actually, this morning, I was a little bit tired because I went to bed late last night because of some stuff that came up. But I've got some buddies. We've been texting each other every morning, making sure that we're up early, you know, attacking our businesses. And so I knew those guys were waiting for me. So I got up early this morning. You know, I was still up at 5:30 to make sure I could shoot those guys a text and be like, hey, I'm up. I'm meditating. I'm reading. I'm ready to go. You know, let's go get this day. Right. So getting into your business, you said you made a shift from, you know, physical training to really that mindset. And I completely understand that, because you think about, like, you know, high performing athletes, a lot of people know what they need to do and what they're supposed to do. They know, hey, if I go out there and run the 40 18 times, it's going to make me faster. Right. But getting over that mindset, actually going and doing it and getting in the right mindset to improve and go out there and achieve victory is a big thing. So how did you get that set up and start booking clients doing that? And what kind of results have you seen?
Right. That's a great question, man. So like, I don't want to knock anyone doing personal training, because it's just like anything. They're just like in any business coaching, you might have someone who can coach you on how to write copy or how to, you know, connect with people. All these elements are important. I just was realizing that with athletes in particular, no one's really like addressing the mindset issue in a real practical, legit way. And by legit, I mean, like, a lot of these dudes never played. Like, you never played at a high level, so you're just theorizing, you reading some books, and you're saying, oh, you gotta like breathe deep before, like, it's deeper than that. Like, I was noticing that there's an infrastructure that's lacking in these athletes' lives, because when you think about it, it's almost like a business, right? A business has, like, if you don't have a solid infrastructure, if you don't have certain systems in place working all together, it doesn't matter how, you know, how well you go out and speak or coach or whatever, things are going to fall apart. And it's just like that for athletes. It doesn't matter how fast or strong you are. If you don't have a system for managing your life, then your outside life will interfere with your workouts. If you feel overwhelmed in school, that will carry over to practice. If you have no idea how to deal with doubters and naysayers and people who are telling you that your dreams are corny or whatever, then if you don't have a system for dealing with that, you're going to slack off in your workouts. You're going to start questioning yourself. You're going to start lacking confidence. And so that's what I was seeing. It's like, this, you know, training is very important, but there's this one athlete in particular who spurred it all, where it's like, I've been training you for a long time and you're getting stronger and faster, I guess, but like, it's not really like, I feel like the job of like a real leader is to see a vision for someone, right? Like if I'm just going to go over here and give you a training routine, I guess that's cool. I could do that. But I was doing that for this person, but I was also seeing that it wasn't getting her where I know that she wanted to go. And the reason why is because there's other things there that are lacking. It's not the training. It's not like your nutrition. Of course, you can improve on those things. But it was the fact that you didn't have confidence. You didn't know how to like get yourself to go get to the next level. You were looking around at other people, wondering what they thought about you. You were doing it just for your parents. So anyway, with this particular athlete, I noticed I would be spending like 20, 30 minutes in the beginning of our training sessions just talking to her, like just trying to get her mind right. And I'm like, dude, this, I don't even really like training. Like, quite frankly, I'm not reading books on like, you know, how to, you know, squat techniques in my off time. I'm reading books about the mind. I'm reading books on success. I'm reading books about, you know, how other people will accomplish things at a high level, the mindset behind it. And so I started taking her after these workouts, her and her dad, I would take her in the back area of this gym. And I would just give short little mindset lessons, right? Just in real practical, actionable things to do. Boom, 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 right? And I started developing this curriculum, if you will. And once I started doing that, I had gotten really clear. I no longer want to do this training thing. So I remember there was a very clear point in time where I was like, all right, I'm no longer going to take any clients doing training. And this was before I even had any clients in for mindset coaching. And so obviously there, it was like, all right, that money stream cut off. So now I got to start developing some sort of curriculum and finding out how I'm gonna actually market this and get people to actually buy into what I'm selling. And that was when the real work began. I started honing my systems. I got my first client before my podcast came out. And so I totally like changed my messaging on my previous website, which was like called Pro Squad Athletics. And then that's when I had the idea to create a whole new brand. And that's when I said, I'm not you, because I'm not you is the mentality that these top 2% of athletes have. Like, they're just willing to do shit that other people aren't willing to do. They're willing to sit down and spend hours creating a vision, you know, being deliberate about setting up their habits in the right way. They're willing to craft out their goals and create a clear, cohesive plan and map for how to get there. Then where they wake up and they know exactly what it is that they have to do. They get the idea of having systems around these things. So I called it I'm Not You, and I created the podcast. And I still remember getting my first client. I was actually like, it was a friend of one of my family members. My family member just introduced me to this person. And I remember I was in Office Depot, and she was like asking me about it, and I was explaining. She's like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I need. She was like, how much does it cost? And I had a pen and paper. I was sitting down at Office Depot on one of those little desks. Right. And I was just like, it costs this for 4 weeks. Yeah, and I just gave her like some price. I just made it up.
Right.
And that was the beginning. And from there, I was like, all right, I got a paid customer. I know this thing has some legs. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't even have a podcast yet. Like, I just, you know, started my new website. No one even knows about me. And so from there, it was like, that was when I really had to put myself through the fire, because I didn't know anything, man. Like, and that's the thing. Like, we see guys who are achieving success and we assume that they just like knew this shit. No, like, they learned it. Like, they learned how to do all these things. So if you have a business idea, don't expect that you have to have some degree. You're going to have to learn a lot of things. And there's a ton of things that I don't know. And you don't need to know everything. That's the other thing. I believe a lot of my success has come from me just being super, super clear about who I am and what I do, and really, really believing in what I do. And so I have the ability to get people to buy in. And so when they buy in, I deliver. And then they pay me again. And then they tell their friends. And then my podcast gets to the point where we're at 1 million downloads, and it's just a little bit over 1 year old. And it's all because people love the content. I'm consistent, and they tell their friends about it because I deliver. So I think at the root of it all, man, it's just like, just that's how it started, if you will. That's sort of like the evolution. And the other thing that's really important to be clear about, because I don't want this to get lost in the story, is like at every point of my journey, real life decisions had to be made. Do you get what I'm saying? So like, I didn't just like magically stop being a firefighter and just sort of like drift. I like stopped being a firefighter. I like quit. I didn't magically merge from like, you know, doing personal training to doing mindset training. I literally decided to no longer get clients. I emailed other clients and said, I'm no longer going to train you. Would you like your refund? Here you go. Like, I'm no longer doing it. I drew a line in the sand.
That's bold.
And so it's like you put yourself, it's like you commit. You commit and then you force yourself to figure it out. Because many of us have this idea that it's like this seamless process that you just sort of flow. It's not like that. You got to make a decision. You got to say, yo, I'm raising my prices. Yo, I'm no longer working with these type of clients. And so that means there's going to be some lag time. There's going to be some time where it's like shit is dried up for a little bit, you know, and we'll talk. Hopefully we have time. I'll tell you about, you know, where I'm at right now, where in the way that I've committed. But that's like a reality that people
have to. There's going to be some scary moments. And,
right.
And the funny thing is, I love that you brought up that, you know, we see a lot of these successful athletes or business people, and we just kind of look at them and say, oh, man, I couldn't be like them. They were born with, you know, whether it's an athlete like, you know, Kobe Bryant, he's just innately good at basketball. You know?
Right.
He didn't actually work hard to get there.
Right.
You know? And he's famous for talking about getting up at 4 a.m., you know, practicing. Or a lot of successful business people that built these awesome businesses, they had hard times. They went through challenges. They made decisions. Like you said, they put in the time. They read. They learned. They made decisions at some point. And, you know, sometimes you just got to put on the line and say, yeah, I have this business and my fees are X. And let's go.
Right.
So I love that you did that and you got that going. So it sounds like you're getting a lot of clients now from referrals, word of mouth, as well as the podcast, your podcast and being on other podcasts.
Right.
So, and it sounds like you've got a lot of great things going on. You got it all figured out. You're crystal clear on your vision. There's probably no one better at connecting to their why and overcoming adversity, but certainly there's got to be still some challenging things going on for you and with your business. So What are some challenges that you're facing right now that you're trying to figure out?
Right. So first of all, I would say I actually don't have it figured out. And that's why I feel so good about where I'm at. Like, because I figured out that we'll never have it all the way figured out. I just know what I want. And then I also know that what I want expands and changes. And I feel like I have the right type of habits in place that can facilitate growth, which is what life is all about anyway. Like, there will never be a point in time where my business is like, everything is going great. I should feel scared when that happens, like legit. But anyway, right now, man, like you said, the podcast is growing at a fast rate. Early or late last year is when I decided, like, I can't keep taking on new clients. Like, I had dropped a couple of products earlier that year, but my list isn't at the size where it's like I can, you know, make a ton of money off of dropping products online enough to sustain me, right? And so I realized, like, yo, I need to make a decision here. Like, stop focusing on getting clients right now and focus on building all of your systems into, like, digital products, like systemizing everything that you teach digitally. That's something we all talk about, scaling. But again, if you want to scale, you have to make a decision to scale. Like, it's not like at some point you're going to have to decide to stop doing something you've always been doing. They always talk about this, like, working in your business versus working on your business. At some point, you got to say, all right, I need to spend X amount of days working on this. And that requires a lot of discipline. It's tough because you're going to want to be like, oh, no, I got to go back over here. Oh, no. Oh, no, money's drying up a little bit. Nope. Focus. Do what it is. Think long term. Think long term. Like, think for the long term and then act right now on that long term. And again, you're going to have some dry periods. It's not going to be pretty. You're going to have a lot of uncertainty, but at the end of the day, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you don't like to deal with uncertainty, good luck. Go get a day job. You know what I mean? That's what you signed up for. Being an entrepreneur is being a lion in the jungle. It's finding your own food. It's creating your own opportunities. And if you want to be a lion in the jungle, as opposed to a little bird, you know, or a snake.
Or lion at the zoo.
Right. Yeah. Or you could be a lion in the zoo and act like you're the man at your little job, you know, and get stuff handed to you. But this isn't made for everyone. That's the other thing I've realized. It's really not a lifestyle that's made for everyone. But so that's what I create. I'm getting ready to launch actually this week. All of my products, going to Facebook advertising, doing some focusing on team consulting and working with businesses and teams and organizations, bringing my systems into those type of environments where I can truly do my purpose, right? What I talk about, building fearless leaders. I'm not just out here to sell some products. I'm actually out here to build other fearless leaders, to teach people how to be fearless. And in order to do that, I want to do that on a large scale. And there's a, what's it called? What's his name? PayPal, Tesla, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yeah.
Yeah, he has a quote, man. He said, you get paid in direct proportion to the size and difficulty of the problems that you solve. So if you solve big problems, if I can figure out a way how to teach other people how to be fearless at a on a large scale, I'll be very wealthy. And that's and I'm on my way. So it's like the money will come, but focus on building a great product, packaging that in such a way that people are going to be attracted to it, making sure it delivers, and do that for a lot of people. I feel like that's a formula that works. It's worked for me at a smaller level and a level that's gotten me, you know, 5x my income that I made as a firefighter. So now it's about taking it to the next level and really achieving massive success and being able to share my message with the world, which is the ultimate goal. And really, you know, a big motivation for what I do is my kids, man. And I'm actually homeschooling my kids starting this fall. I have my curriculum mapped out. I know exactly how I'm gonna do it. And I know if it doesn't work, well, it is gonna work, but I know everything that I need is going to be there, and I'm going to figure it out. And that's a big reason why I do what I do, because I want to spend a lot of time with my kids. I want to school my kids. I want to teach them all the things that school isn't teaching them. And that's not going to happen itself. I got to make sure I have a residual. I know exactly the amount that I want coming in each month in order to live the lifestyle that we want to live while doing the things that we want to do. And that's what's driving me, man. So it's a lot of uncertainty. There's no guarantees.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, this is the life, right? This is it.
Yeah, man, you're doing it. And I love that you throw in there that, oh yeah, by the way, you're also going to be homeschooling your kids because you just don't have enough going on right now. But I also appreciate, as a father and someone who aspires to be a great father and prioritizing spending time with my kids and not just building a business all the time like some entrepreneurs do, that you do mention that you know, we don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but you do set aside time to spend time with your kids and be a good dad as well as build a successful business. So it sounds like you've got a pretty good vision that you want to figure out how to scale this and be able to change a lot more lives to help people become more fearless, make a bigger difference. And you set that in motion. You're launching that. By the time this podcast goes live, you will have that out there. What's the biggest thing that you're worried about at this point? Is there anything that you're afraid about? Just, is it like worried, not being able to handle it all?
Right.
People just won't show up, or is it nothing? I mean, I know you're very
confident. I'm confident, but that doesn't mean I don't feel fear. I guess the thing that I think about, the questions that I have, the things that I'm scared of is, it has to do with time frames. It's like, is this going to happen when I want it to happen, when I need it to happen? I have this, I'll just be honest, man. I wonder sometimes the impact that it's going to have on close relationships, the time that I spend doing what I'm doing, the impact that it's going to have on my relationship with my wife. It's tough, man. It's hard, dude. Like, that's what I'm saying. And even to talk about being a good dad, dude, I'll let my kids say that. I'll let my kids be the judge of whether or not I'm a good dad. Yesterday, I was working till 9 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? I spent about 5 minutes with my son, throwing him the football. I got a little trampoline here in my office. He loves coming in and throwing the football. Talk with my daughter. My youngest daughter and my youngest son went to sleep before I could say goodnight. And same thing with my other son. He was kind of salty because I was spending some time hanging out with my oldest daughter, you know, talking to her because she was going through some things. So it's not pretty. You have to sacrifice in the short term. But the thing that gives me a lot of confidence is knowing that, it's like Moses in the Bible, right? Like, people wanted to kill Moses. They're like, dude, you're crazy. Like, you got us out here, no food, to some promised land. But Moses knew where he was taking him. And it was only that confidence in knowing where he was going that gave him the ability to keep going. You know what I'm saying? And not like give up on it.
Yeah.
And not have this like either or mentality, like, oh, I can either have a great business or be a great dad. It's like, no, I don't believe that to be true. My kids will look back and they'll say, damn, like, first of all, dad was a grinder. Like, dad put it all on the line. Dad spends time with us because I do. And like every Tuesday, I'm going on a date with one of my kids every single Tuesday. You know what I mean? Awesome. I take them one at a time and I spend time with them on the weekend. Now, I don't spend as much time as they want me to. You know what I mean? If you interview every single one of them, they'll tell you, yeah, dad works a lot, man. I wish he could spend more time with us. But they know I love them. They know I'm all the way invested. They know that I do this for them. I'm not an entrepreneur because I like being an entrepreneur. Like, this ain't some shit you just do because it's cool. Like, it's hard, dude. Like, I do this for them. I do this for my wife. I do this for the world because the people that I'm serving. So I like to train myself to have the both mentality, like I learned in the book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And it's not hard. I feel guilt a lot. Like, I feel bad sometimes. I cried the other day, man. Like, it was weird. It was just like, and I didn't know I was going to, I don't cry a lot. My kids always make fun. Like, they never see me cry. They always try to get me to cry.
Yeah.
I just broke down. I'm like, shoot, man. I feel like I'm not doing right by my kids, man. Like, I feel like I'm not connected with them at the level that I know I really want to. And it's because I'm putting all this time in. But some things have to give in the short term. Now, time will tell. You know, I don't know. Time will tell. There are a few people out there who seem to have great relationships with their whole family while having a really great impact. Tony Robbins is one of those guys who seems like you never really know, but he's like, he's figured that out. So he's one of my role models. I look to him. It's possible. Hey, but I know he travels a lot. And I'm like, I know your kids probably want to hang out with you. And so you found out some sort of way, you know, to connect with your kids in different ways, to get creative, right? To maybe fly them out. That takes resources. That takes time. When I'm schooling my kids starting this fall, my kids are going to be able to grow up and say, yo, my dad taught us. My dad schooled us. He didn't send us off to some public school and say, yeah, figure it out, do your homework, and then we'll hang out. No, he taught us. And so that's starting this fall, you know, and that's one of the big, because I felt like, yo, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep, like, working till 9 at night, you know, working till 6, 7, you know. It's not sustainable, man. There has to be some sort of end game here. So that's my end game. That's what I'm going for. And I'm not going to stop till I get it, quite frankly.
I love it. I love it. And I appreciate you being honest and vulnerable there and being aware of where you are and what you're sacrificing and you know, what your limits might be. Right. And just kind of keeping that in mind and looking at role models that do kind of seemingly have it all.
Right.
And by the way, yeah, I look at that stuff too. And I follow Tony Robbins and I know his son, Jarek.
Oh, nice.
Son. And I'm actually interviewing him on the podcast here in a couple of weeks. So I'm tempted to ask him that question. How much was his dad around when he was growing up? Because, you know, Tony, I've seen his speeches. I've read his book. I mean, he's famous for being on stage till 2 a.m.
Right.
And just like nonstop, you know, working and traveling. So I wonder about that as well. But I think they have a pretty good relationship. So, Nihi, thanks, man. This has been really great. We got to wrap it up. I can't imagine... I mean, if anybody's listening to this and they want to get in touch with you, I can't imagine they wouldn't, because I'm just fired up listening to you. So if people want to get in touch with you, they want to find out more about your business, especially this new digital course that's coming out, how do people find you? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, first, man, imnotyou.com is the home base. That's where you can find me. I got my podcast, the Sports Motivation Podcast. I always tell people, and this is not to be arrogant or cocky, if you are a high-performance athlete or you want to adopt the mindset of a high performance athlete, then you would be an idiot not to listen to my podcast. And that's just straight up. And I feel very confident about that because I put so much value into it. I give so many things for so much for free. You don't have to pay anything. You just log in and listen. And I have over 150 episodes breaking down, teaching on, just check it out. You know what I mean? Great interviews. But a lot of just one-on-one straight up content for me, content, like very practical, very systematic. So there's that.
And you mentioned earlier, by the way, just to connect it back to the beginning, if anybody says, oh, I can't do something because I don't have the resources. Like, come on, man. Yeah, there are so many great free resources out there.
I mean, it's
to ridiculous. Learn these days. It is ridiculous. So, yeah. And that being one of them.
It's not even fair to our ancestors how much,
right?
How many things we get for free, dude. It's not even, it's crazy.
Right.
But yeah, and then there's the Get Your Mind Right podcast as well, which is short 5-minute motivational clips of me just spitting straight up, you know, just motivation and get you going in the morning for the gym. It's actually, people love that one, man. I have a ton of fun recording that. Then on Twitter, Instagram, and all that. But I have a gift for your audience. If you go to imnotyou.com/hotseat, there is an 8-day video course that I'm going to be sharing with you all about how to develop the mindset and habits of the world's most dominant athletes. I break down in detail, get some great stories, great resources as well. So go ahead and check that out. It's free. imnotyou.com/hotseat. You're going to really love that.
Awesome. I love it. We'll be sure to put that in the show notes, and I'm going to check that course out myself because I'm pumped after the show, man. Nee, thanks for coming on the Hot Seat, Entrepreneur Hot Seat podcast. Really appreciate it. This has been just a really great conversation. I wish we had more time, but I know we both got a lot of work to do.
So right. No doubt, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
All right, bro. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. You can find more information at entrepreneurhotseat.com. or my personal website, andystorch.com. Please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you are looking for ways to take your life and business to the next level, you can send me an email to andy@andystorch.com. Take care.